Chakshurun Nilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guru Namaha Nama Shrestham Nanamapi Shatiputramatra Surupam Rupam Tasyagrajamurupurim Maturim Goshtavatim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto Yasya Pravita Kripaya Ashriturum Tamnatosam Andeham Sri Guru Shiatav Parikamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Somewhat funny story to tell you. Funny in the sense of unusual. Recently I visited Russia. Organized a Shravan Kirtan Kanda. And before I arrived in Russia, whoops, supposed to hold it. Okay, I'll start again. Recently I visited Russia, we had a Shravan Kirtan camp organized there, and before I arrived there, some complaint had gone to the anti-extremism department or whatever it is, anti-terrorist department of the Russian government, that the leader of an extremist cult was coming, and that this camp that was being organized, they should cancel that. So that was referred from Moscow to the city where we had the camp, and they called the leaders of ISKCON there and spoke to the anti-extremist department or whatever it is in that city, and devotees told me within 2 minutes of going in there, they found out that it was someone who was having an internet flame war with someone else who was trying to use them, the anti-extremist department, to bash the other side. And so they understood it was all nonsense. But anyway, they came to our camp and made a few questions and this and that. It was one of our devotees who considered me to be an extremist. But then I considered that actually our movement, it is extreme. It's not in the sense of that we're going to be blowing people up or making a political agitation. But actually, Srila Prabhupada did want to radically change the world. And all these extremist movements. Just like I'm now reading a book called Hare Krishna and the Counterculture. If you listen to Srila Prabhupada's conversations, you'll see Srila Prabhupada mentions this quite often. It's a book by Dr. Stilson Judah. He was the first sociologist or student, academic student of religion, to make a study of the Hare Krishna movement. There have been quite a few studies since then. And he analyzed how at that time, his study was conducted in the 1960s, maybe early 1970s, and published in 1974. So he analyzed how at that time most of the members of ISKCON came from the counterculture, which largely meant the hippies, who had dropped out of the American way, the standard American way of life, because they were fed up with everything that it stood for. And they were making a counterculture. I mean, it's based on different values. More interested in the phone, right? It's a phone. No. Yes. Yeah. So, but I'm reading this now as part of my preparation for, or research for my writing. I'm writing this book called The Mood and Mission of Srila Prabhupada. And what struck me is that what's called the counterculture of the hippies is not really counterculture at all. It's just another way to eat, sleep, mate, and defend. It all comes to the same thing. It all comes. Whether you say Labour Party or Conservative Party, or whether you're Democratic or Republican or whatever, even different religions, their aim of life is to enjoy life in this material world. They have different ideas of morality and this and that, but our mood is really otherworldly. There's an English word, otherworldly, means we're not concerned with this world. Jesus himself was otherworldly, the original Jesus. There's this Stilson Judah points that out in the book. And Harvey Cox, who was a prominent Christian theologian and Harvard professor, and he was big in the field of Christian dialogue, and he was very supportive of the ISKCON devotees at a time when there were brainwashing cases against devotees, because they're saying these people, these Hare Krishna people, they take young people and they brainwash them and change their attitudes. But Harvey Cox said, both Stilson Judah and Harvey Cox, they pointed out that the devotees, they're very similar to Jesus, in as much as he was preaching. Jesus was preaching that, what is this world? We have to go to the kingdom of God. But Christianity has changed. The Protestant ethic, which is another thing which Stilson Judah was talking about, the Protestant work ethic, the idea that God helps those who help themselves, work hard and get money. The sign of a pious person is that you have lots of money. God likes you. If you don't have money, God doesn't like you. That's the idea. So our movement at that time was composed of people who were looking for an alternative to the materialistic way of life. But it's changed. It's now mostly consists of devotees who in many ways have and are encouraged to have the same values as the materialistic society all around us. Work hard, get money, and give some to the temple. It's said that the ultimate aim is love of Krishna, but the immediate aim is to live comfortably in this world. Whereas devotees, attested by Stilson Judah and other, they weren't interested in material comfort and often lived in very austere conditions and were happy to do that. So in that sense, our movement is extreme. It's extreme from the point of view of materialistic people, or it should be. It should be, in as much as our whole aim of life is completely different, to live comfortably. And of course, we may say live comfortably and chant Hare Krishna. If you can live comfortably and chant Hare Krishna, then why live uncomfortably? That may be said. And of course, Srila Prabhupada, he never said that you have to do severe austerities and all this. But just the day-to-day life in Krishna consciousness, it's very austere from the point of view of a materialist. Rising early in itself, that's a great austerity. If you can get up at 7 o'clock, why get up at 4 o'clock? So, and then the dietary restrictions. I get asked things just like about chocolate. That question came up today. Chocolate, should you eat chocolate? Why make a big thing about it? Krishna, you go to any temple, you go to Puri or Nathdwara or Tirupati, and never they offer chocolate to Krishna. So why does the question come up? Is Krishna, he's so much wanting to eat chocolate after all these years? No, we want to eat it, that's all. The question only arises because we want to eat it, not because Krishna wants to eat it. So if we stick to what Prabhupada gave us, it seems to be extremist. And definitely one thing which comes up as I'm doing this book, The Mood and Mission of Srila Prabhupada, it's, although Srila Prabhupada is otherworldly, in other words, he pointed us, Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam Sada Pashyanti Surya Yo Deviva Chakshuratatam. We should look up to the spiritual world, to the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. But at the same time, Srila Prabhupada is very concerned to change the condition of this world to make conditions more favorable for practicing Krishna consciousness. It's not a very favorable society at the present time. Just like you're talking about cow slaughter. It's very sinful, but people think it's normal. It's going on. I often say in India, when I'm in India, especially in Hindi talks, because in South India also, actually in Karnataka, it's a big issue. It's a big thing. Otherwise, in other states of South India, they don't care so much. But in North India, it's a big thing. The North Indian Hindus, they don't like it at all, cow slaughter. Kerala, the Hindus eat beef, many. And we're just talking about Kerala, yeah. So I said, often I say that in 100 years, in one century, if there's one cow slaughter in this land of India, it's a big kalank, I say. The word in English is blot. It's a big blot on the whole of India. If it's one in 100 years and thousands are being slaughtered daily, what a situation. Oh. I spoke recently with a BJP leader in India. Leader means state leader in some capacity, about why is this going on. He was definitely, he wanted to stop it, but I don't know how much they're able to do, because if they'd have done it in 1947, it would have gone through. Many people thought that would be automatic, right? Because now India's independent, now we should stop cow slaughter. There weren't slaughterhouses that came up in India after Indian independence. Otherwise, the British, they didn't make slaughterhouses. They didn't dare. But it was Mahatma Gandhi who, they were going to make ban on cow slaughter, but Mahatma Gandhi said, no, you have to allow it. Father of the nation, just see. Anyway, our movement is, we do want to see radical change. Slaughterhouses should be stopped. Srila Prabhupada said, if people want to eat meat, they can kill an animal at home, not cows. That's all. Not that you have organized slaughterhouses. We can't stop meat eating altogether. That's not practical. But if people want to eat, or they can eat beef if they want, Prabhupada said, we'll give them. You know that? In New Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada suggested, when a cow dies, give to the butcher. And then you just give us back the skin and we'll make mudangas from the skin. But if they want to eat beef, we'll give the animal. You take free, save money, don't kill the cow. But they said, no, it's not allowed. You're not allowed to do that. You can only kill a cow and give the meat. They won't allow you to let the cow die. But Srila Prabhupada is very serious about that. You do that. So meat eating and alcohol, Prabhupada said, if they want, they can make at home alcohol, but no commercial sale like this. So Srila Prabhupada definitely had a program that would be considered extreme, even by the hippies or by the communists or whatever. Extremism nowadays, it's mostly associated with Islam. But from we also want to change the world in an extreme way, better way, better religion that would stop slaughterhouses. So it's difficult, no doubt. To try to preach this in a Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's cult is Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yogam Shikshartameka Purusha Purana Shri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dhari Kripam Buddhya Yastamaham Prabhadye. Savbhom Bhattacharya prayed to Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that I surrender to you, who are an ocean of mercy, who have descended in this world to teach about bhakti yoga, devotion to himself, which is based on vairagya vidya. Vairagya, non-attachment or detachment from this world, and vidya, spiritual knowledge. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this supreme, eternal, ancient personality of Godhead, has appeared as, he is the Supreme Person appearing as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to teach this. So these words, Vairagya Vidya, they're very important in devotional service. The whole basis is Vidya, knowledge. Beginning with knowledge, not belief, but knowledge of the fact that there is birth and death, and that we are suffering in this world repeatedly in birth and death, and we have to become detached from it. Otherwise, attachment to this world causes us to be born again and again and again. So it's on these lines that Srila Prabhupada presented Krishna consciousness, and it was a radical program for changing the world, introducing Varnashram. Generally in ISKCON, when we think of Varnashram, we think of farms. Making farms is only the beginning. Otherwise, anyway, there are thousands of farms all over the world, and there's no sign of any Varnashram just because there are farms. It's not just making farms. The aim of having farms is not just to farm the land, not just to produce our own food, not just self-sufficiency. The aim is to establish Varnashram society, which may be in cities also, but not these, not cities like London, where, what are people doing in this city? I mean, what's the economic basis, actually? There should be some production of something. I suspect that this whole, why are the Western countries rich in comparison to the to other parts of the world? I suspect it's all due to financial manipulation. And it's not that people here are particularly hard working or productive. What does England produce? What's produced here? It's just all financial manipulation keeps these countries rich. So, cities, Srila Prabhupada just like in Mayapur, Srila Prabhupada wanted to make a city, but he said maximum population 50,000. Otherwise, previously, city means a small janpad, place where people live, and around, surrounded by agriculture. And people's needs are not so much also. All this, we have so many artificial needs. Everything. What was that? To get in here, someone hits a... Is it? They hit a button, is it? And then some sound comes. It's all very complicated, right? Everything's complicated, unnecessarily. I see here, I walking sometimes here early in the morning, and it's all lit up just like daytime almost. I look out from in the middle of the night if I wake up. So bright, and the whole of London, so bright. So much electricity being used. It's all powered by what? Any idea? Solar. Is it coal? Coming from coal? Hmm? Coal and nuclear. Hmm. Is it, you know? Mainly coal. Hmm. Whatever it is, it's a huge amount of energy being produced for unnecessary. So much light. What do you need so much light for? Is that to stop the burglars? Doesn't seem to stop them much, does it? So much light when people are sleeping. So lot of unnecessary wastage, but artificial cities with so many artificial so-called necessities. People, the whole society is based on that. Produce more and more goods for people to buy, and then the business goes on. So many cars. When Srila Prabhupada is being asked, well, he said that Krishna consciousness can solve, we can give the solutions to all the problems in the world. At that time, there was a petrol shortage. Somehow or other, there had been manufactured a petrol shortage. So I think the idea was to put the prices up. So, the petrol shortage. What's the solution? What's the Krishna conscious solution to petrol shortage? Prabhupada said, don't go anywhere, that's all. That's the answer. If you need to go anywhere, go by bullock cart. I mean, well, you can't go very quickly. And Prabhupada said, what do you want to do? You can't go very far. What do you need to go far for? What's the point? What do you need to go for? The human necessities are, as is famously said in Hindi, roti, kapra, makan. Food, clothing, and shelter. That's all. Those are the basic necessities. So you don't need to go here and there for that. Everything can be local. Everything should be local, locally produced. So Srila Prabhupada had, his idea was to radically change the world and radically change people's way of life and radically change people's whole outlook on life, because the present outlook on life is eat, sleep, drink, be merry and enjoy, for tomorrow we shall all be dead. But it's all based on not vairagya and not vidya, because vidya means to know that we won't be dead. For our eating, sleeping, and being merry and enjoying, we'll have to get the reaction. That's why to preach Krishna consciousness, if we actually preach it as it is, it's not very popular. It's not going to be very popular, because if we say, well, my dear sir, you're enjoying your life now, but in future, oh, they don't want to hear. There's that story Srila Prabhupada said that one sadhu, he came, saw a brahmachari and told him, better you die immediately. Huh? What kind of blessing is that? Die immediately. Why? Why should he die? Because he's doing so much austerity. But when he dies, he'll immediately go to the spiritual world. So why bother doing more austerity? Just go right away. Then the sadhu came to a prince. And he said, you don't die. Better you don't die. Because you're doing so much sinful activities. You don't die. You're enjoying life. You'll get so much karmic reaction later. Better you don't die. Then he came to a devotee, he said, you can live or die, it doesn't make any difference. Because here you're, why? Because jivo mahavaro marova. If you live, you're chanting Hare Krishna, and if you die, you're chanting Hare Krishna. It's all the same. For you, it doesn't make any difference. You're in bliss either way. He came to a butcher and he said, ma jiva ma mara, don't live and don't die. Because when you're alive, your life is horrible, killing animals all the time. And when you die, you're going to get horrible reactions. So people don't know these things. Lokas ya janato vidvangs chakre satvata sanghitam. People don't know all these things. Therefore, Vyasadeva wrote compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam just to inform people. And Srila Prabhupada, the modern day Vyas, translated this and explained it for people of the modern world. And Srila Prabhupada's disciples and subsequent disciples, Shishya, Upa Shishya, they, in disciplic succession, they distribute these books to give people knowledge, actual knowledge. And if we actually understand that we're not the body, we're suffering birth after birth, and we're meant for blissful life in the spiritual world, then we wouldn't live in the way that we're living. It would require a total change of life. So it is a very ambitious program to change the world. It's easier to water things down and take out the nice things, the things that we think are nice, and maybe not have all the things that Srila Prabhupada gave us. Just like this morning I was saying that Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is very sweet, but there are many things in there also which are maybe they don't seem so sweet. It's all sweet, but our perception of sweetness is based on the idea of how I will enjoy this world. But the whole way of thinking, change of heart, that I am meant for serving Krishna, I am not meant for enjoying this world. So we may say that, well, Prabhupada's programs, they don't work. You maybe heard this Varnashram, it doesn't work. Well, let's drop that. Let's drop it. Doesn't work. Or maybe we'll do it. Maybe after 100 years we'll do it. So if we come back after 100 years and someone says, well, maybe we'll do it after 100 years. And then it'll go on like that. They always say after 100 years. Someone has to do it. It's the order from Srila Prabhupada. We should do it. Try. Srila Prabhupada tried to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. It didn't seem possible. He tried. If he had not been successful, he would have got the same mercy from Krishna as if he had been successful, in as much as Krishna would have been pleased, his guru would have been pleased. We should try Gurukul. We've heard it doesn't work. If it doesn't work, then we're condemning all the children to go to the slaughterhouse, the schools. Srila Prabhupada compared them to a slaughterhouse for the soul. So if we don't have Gurukuls, then how are they going to be educated? Just how to be part of this materialistic society, that's not. So we could say, well, Prabhupada's problem, do they work? We're preaching Krishna consciousness all this time, the world didn't change, maybe we need to change, be more realistic. If we say we should stop the Varnashram and the Gurukul, then why not just stop everything? Why bother at all? Why not stop deity worship? Who's that for? What a waste of time. You spend all the time dressing and cleaning, and what's the point? Just a few people like it. Oh, it's good. It's good in India, and here in London it's good because many Indians come and give donations. So it's good from that point of view. Otherwise, why bother in places like France? Why bother? It's just a burden, right? Why bother with all this deity worship? You could say like that, couldn't you? What's the point? Why are we bothering ourselves? Then you can say that about anyone. Why bother with book distribution? As we hear, they say, why distribute books? We distributed so many books, people didn't become devoted. Why do we do it? We're doing it, we're giving people knowledge. What else are we going to do if we don't? Maybe we can give them some other books that they like more, but if they like it, it doesn't help them. That's the problem. If we give them the truth, then the truth as given in, that is Shastra, they may not like it. So if we give them some semi-Mayavad hodgepodge, then they may like it, but what's the point? There's already plenty of people giving Mayavad hodgepodge. We shouldn't be in competition with them. We should give the actual truth. So it's a fact that Srila Prabhupada's programs, they are meant for changing the world. It's very difficult to change a world which is addicted to not vairagya, to gross sense enjoyment. and not the world that runs on the basis of avidya, ignorance, not of knowledge of the purpose of life. But we don't have if we're followers of Srila Prabhupada, we don't have anything else to do. There's no meaning to compromising with this materialistic civilization. Compromise, in some sense, we have to live in this world, we have to a large extent, we have to follow their laws, which can make things difficult, and we don't want to cut ourselves off completely from the world. We have to live in this world and operate within it. And it's nice that the police, they supervise our Rath Yatra. Okay, that's good. We can keep a good relationship with the police. For instance, we're not unnecessarily making enmity with others. No, we don't necessarily think that we're not so unrealistic that we think that the whole world's going to change overnight. But we have to keep that aim in mind. Otherwise, if we become a yoga society or a psychology society or an ecology society, there are already plenty of people doing all these things. But what's the point? That's not our message. Our message is Savadhaman Parityajama Mekam Sharanang Raja. Krishna says, surrender to me. Of course, he said that at the end of Bhagavad Gita, not at the beginning. In the beginning, we can ask people, chant Hare Krishna and be happy, or just take some prasadam. But our message has to be Krishna consciousness. We have to go on giving the same message. The same message that Krishna gave to Brahma, Brahma gave to Narad, Narad gave to Vyas, Vyas gave to Madhvacharya. It's the same message. And this, how to give it? Well, the prime means in this age is by Sankirtan. Krishna Varnam Tvisha Krishnam Sangopangastra Parshadam Yagyayar Sankirtana Dvaya Yagyay Sankirtana Prayer Yajanti Hi Sumedasaha. In this Kali Yuga, the Yuga Dharma is chanting the names of Krishna. And along with that, we're also in Sankirtan distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. So we should go on with that. Maybe the world won't change overnight. Maybe it will. Who knows? It was unexpected that Srila Prabhupada's mission would come to fruition. Even Srila Prabhupada himself many times said that, I never expected that people in the Western countries would take it so much. So it can. The potential is there for Krishna consciousness to change the world. There's widespread discontent in the world today, is it not? Everywhere. Widespread discontent and increasing reason for discontent. And the reasons for being discontent are increasing also. People, to a large extent, people don't trust politicians, which that's a change since I was young, at least in this country. People used to think that they might have liked the politicians on one side and not on the other, but they didn't think that the politicians... There wasn't a widespread skepticism of politicians as there is now. I suspect that came about... A major factor in that in England was the whole weapons of mass destruction scam by which they sent British soldiers to die and killed so many Iraqis on the deliberate lie that they discovered weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. That must have been a watershed for many people. What do you think? You're out there with all the people. And then, any of you follow the news? I'm probably more tuned into it than all of you are. And then time to time the corruption comes out and this and that. And so a lot of people don't have faith in the system as it is. But then at the same time, they're not like the countercultural youth of the 1960s who at that time... it seemed like they might make a massive change in the whole society and the whole direction of American civilization. It's very interesting, actually, this Stilson Judah, how he analyzed how the whole way of life is alienating people who are born into wealth, but they feel that the whole American way of life is it's too materialistic. So anyway, let's go on with the program that Srila Prabhupada gave. Even if not many people take to it, we might think, well, if we just change the message a bit, we can do some entertainment. Let's tell some jokes and more people will listen to us. That's true. If you're a good joker, you can get many people to listen. But to get many people to listen to jokes is not the aim of our movement. If we could get many people to hear the teachings of Bhagavad Gita as it is, that would be very good. But it's better to have one person listening to the teachings of Bhagavad Gita as it is than to have many people listening to something different, because that's our only message. We don't have any other message. Hare Krishna. I just thought I'd share that with you as you're all kindly coming here today. Is there anything else on the agenda? This meeting was called for any particular purpose or just to say Hare Krishna. If anyone has any questions, they can ask me.
In London, in the schools now...
Okay, just a second.
In London, in the schools, there's so much crime with a knife. Even the student attack the teacher. So all the dangerous school, they have a security and a police standing at the gate just to make sure the student can carry a knife. That's the situation.
Something like that, yeah. We used to read years ago how in schools in America the kids are frisked for guns. Here it's knives. Guns are better in some way. If they're going to kill you, it's easier, quicker, and cleaner. Knife death is more prolonged and horrible. If you're going to kill me, use a gun, not a knife. Yeah, that's the situation. So, what kind of society is that? Children attack teachers and maybe other students also with knives. So it's a failed society, right? They talk about failed states. They say Pakistan's a failed state. I don't know what they mean by a failed state. People are eating daily. It's just some propaganda. But it's as far as civilization is concerned, it's failed. It's a failure. If children are like that, then it's a failure. Long ago, the whole society, they should look at themselves and say, hey, there's something wrong. And there have been thinkers. One of the prominent intellectuals who was brought by Shyamasundar Prabhu to meet Srila Prabhupada, this Shyamasundar in 1973, he brought many prominent intellectuals to meet Srila Prabhupada practically every day. One of them was Arnold Toynbee, who was a prominent historian. And he wrote that I wish I could remember it word by word because he put it very well. But he said that the anomaly in society is a spiritual. He said we have sold our souls to the attainment of a goal that is neither possible nor desirable. In other words, the goal of materialistic happiness. We've sold our souls. That's coming from a medieval German drama, I believe it was, called Dr. Faust, who sold his soul to the devil. So he analyzed that, and many, many have analyzed this. Stilson Judah, he also analyzed that. Why did this hippie movement come into being? Because people are, it's a spiritual revolution or turning away from the grossly materialistic society. So many people have said, but who is there to listen? People, they offer them, you can live very happily, you can get money, drugs, sex, sports. People are intoxicated. Apart from being literally intoxicated, their attention is taken away by petty things. People are deliberately kept in foolishness. I heard one of our GBC members approached an ex-prime minister of Australia and said to him that, so you have a program for keeping all the people stupid? And he said, how did you know? You better come and join us. But it's a fairly well-known phenomenon, dumbing down, keeping the people stupid. In America, the educational system, it's the state-sponsored educational system, it's only about number 20 in the rankings in the world, or less than that. They're deliberately keeping people stupid, and drugs and everything. Tons and tons of cocaine come into America. They can't stop it. They have all this surveillance systems. They can't stop it. They want it. Afghanistan, the RAF planes come direct from Afghanistan to England with no customs checking. And Afghanistan's main business is opium. So, guess what? Anyway, the world is run by demons, no doubt. People who want their own power and sense gratification at the expense of others, and they don't care. They don't care if other people are killed, if their country is wrecked. They don't care. Even if they weren't doing things like this, what about the slaughterhouses? That in itself is demoniac. Some people are a little sharp and they understand that there's a lot of injustice in the world against humans. But what about the animals, the slaughterhouses? And then we have this vegan movement. They're against exploitation of animals, but then all these vegans, they're all drinking coffee, which is all from exploitation of humans. Chocolate, that's another good reason not to take chocolate, because it runs on slave labor, practically. Forced labor, child labor. There's so many anomalies in the world. It's what can you do? Just go to the root. The root of the problem is forgetfulness of Krishna. So we should preach Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, trying to change this and change that, there's so many problems. The root cause of the problem is lack of Krishna consciousness. That's all. And then comes the enjoying spirit. Krishna bhuli. What is that? Krishna bahimokhoya bhogavanchakari. When we become inimical to serving Krishna, then we desire to enjoy this material world. And then comes all exploitation. All bad things come from forgetting Krishna. Yeah, so anything you wanted to say? Just a second. Put this next to your
mouth. You mentioned about Varnashram communities, and that's the ideal for trying to balance and move towards more, being more strong in Krishna consciousness. But in a country like UK, because I know you're developing the farm communities in India, but here it feels like we're kind of stuck where we don't have such a community or any aspirations of developing such a community, and we're stuck in city life. But then how do we, because trying to maintain your sadhana in city life is very difficult. And how?
Well, that's a major reason to have these communities. Even if we can't do full-fledged varnashram immediately, the farm life is very good for grihasthas, much improves their whole spiritual life. Because most initiated devotees in ISKCON today don't have sadhana anything like that which Prabhupada had for his disciples who were living in the temples. Nothing like that at all. I suspect that most of them practically don't have any sadhana in the morning at all. I've seen sometimes staying at people's houses overnight. They get up and get dressed, and with their work clothes on, they quickly do a mangalarti, and I suspect they might not even do that if I wasn't there. They have 20 deities who they don't do anything with. Maybe on the weekend they do something, otherwise they don't have time for them. And they rush out, and I don't know when they chant their rounds. Sometime, maybe, but it's definitely not quality sadhana. So the farm projects, it's great for grihasthas for their sadhana. In fact, one of my disciples who was a brahmachari for maybe 10 years, and then he married and moved to one of our farms, he said, my sadhana is much better than when I was a brahmachari. Because he was leading up some preaching projects and he was busy. And many times we preaching programs late at night, and then come in late, and then it's difficult to get your sadhana together. In the morning you have to arrange for this and that, for going out and distributing books. But he said, we have 3 times a day we have programs here, morning, midday and evening. Whereas when I was a brahmachari, we only had in the morning. In the evening, we'd always be out doing something, preaching. We didn't have any evening program. And the morning program also, he was often busy with various things. So definitely, you say you don't have any aspiration. Well, aspire for it. Start to think about it. Thinking, feeling, willing. It's true, but everyone's in the nuclear family. That's true in India also. It started to happen in India because devotees started seriously thinking about it. And, okay, what are we going to do? We better do something. It can be done here. There's land here. There's land here. I heard near Leicester there's a Goshala. Well, what we have in India, actually, we don't have that many cows. It's more farming than cows. Here, it's more cows than farming, because that can be supported financially and with donations. It's a good money spinner. If you say cows, then the cards get swiped. But that's not the aim of having the community. It's not supposed to be a money spinner. So, yeah, that's the start. Can develop more.
Because when you speak to someone, they say because of the climate they can't grow crops all year round.
In England you can grow crops around the year. In Russia you can't. In England you can. It's a bit slow in the winter, but you can put things in. There may not be many crops in the winter, but some things are there. And you can definitely grow enough to support a family. I mean, how were people living previously? They weren't importing food from all over the world. That's relatively recent in England's history. So there are obstacles, but it's not that in India you just... They said, okay, let's go to the land. And then there was someone was playing a violin in the background, and they walked. And they, they walked onto that, and then they all started smiling. And there's so much struggle. Even now there's so much struggle. Getting the money together is a major struggle because land is very, very expensive there, more than in America. If you, with $10,000 in America, you can get more land than in India. So that's there are many obstacles, but devotees had a sincere desire to do it, and they did it. So it can be done here. Why not? Srila Prabhupada wanted that. He named the deities Radha, Gokul, Ananda, because they're supposed to be a farm project, Gokul. That was Srila Prabhupada's idea. Farm and cows. So why not? There's so much land in England which is not being farmed. Is there not? A lot of protected land. That means what? It's forest land now.
Yeah. But I think the problem is people are comfortable with their material lives.
People are comfortable with their material lives. If you can get your bread and butter by living in the materialistic society, then why go and struggle on the farm? It's true, the devotees who started our farm projects in India, they were also devotees who were living in the upper pay strata of society, but who thought, I don't spend all my life like this. I don't want my kids to live like this. I don't want to raise my kids like this. So they made a decision to live in a more uncomfortable way, more austere way, accepting some difficulties for the sake of spiritual advancement, which is, after all, the purpose of life. The purpose of life, believe it or not, is not to live comfortably and chant Hare Krishna. The living comfortably thing may or may not be there. The idea is to live in such a way that we don't get born again, that we go to Krishna. So living, the attachment to living comfortably is also an obstacle to that. As, of course, it's not that Srila Prabhupada said we should live uncomfortably, and in many ways you live much better in the country. You get fresh air, fresh food. There's no such thing in the cities. really fresh. Fresh means you pull it out of the ground and wash it and cut it, cook it, and offer it to Krishna. That's fresh. It's not possible in the cities to get that fresh. And someone's asking me today, how can you get food that you're sure that it's not modified, genetically modified, or not tampered with, or injected, or sprayed? And the only way is to grow it yourself. That's the only way. So good food, good people, living with serious devotees, that you won't get in the city. That's for sure. There might be pleasant neighbors and this and that, but they're not going to help you in your spiritual advancement. It's only dedicated devotees who go to such communities, who are really serious about spiritual life. So there are so many advantages. So if you think, well, what are we going to do? No one's doing it. Then you have to do it. If everyone thinks I can't do it because no one's doing it, then it'll never be done. Someone has to do it. You have to think about it. Thinking, feeling, and willing. You have to do it. Or if you don't want, if you're not attached to living in England, you can go to somewhere else where there are such communities. It might not be for everyone, but someone should do it for. We don't expect everyone to do it, but some should do it. Yeah, anything else? Yeah.
Is it the fact that, for example, not many devotees are inspired to do much in like farming and things, that, like lack of faith in Srila Prabhupada and his, because it appears that if he please Prabhupada, then everything will be successful, isn't it? But I spoke most recently, I asked this question to Krishna Dharma Prabhu, and he said that actually the root cause is lack of faith. And the fact also, Keshabharti Maharaj, like for example, has this huge campaign to make devotees read Bhagavatam. As many devotees, they buy books in London, but they never read them. And then, is that actually the cause, or the lack of faith? So there's no faith that actually whatever we do that goes towards pleasing Srila Prabhupada will actually be successful finally.
Yeah. Take someone to show the way. No one had faith that Krishna consciousness could spread in the Western world. Srila Prabhupada showed that it could be done. Now there are so many Vaishnava preachers coming. Srila Prabhupada showed the way. A lot of mercy to be had for anyone who wants to do this. In the meantime, you have to struggle on. What can you do if you're stuck in some situation? You have to go on the best way you can. But it's not, in most cases, not very. Most of our initiate devotees, what I see, then their lifestyle in and of itself is not conducive for spiritual advancement. Just the way they're forced to live. Heavy mortgages, constant anxiety with this. It's like having a big weight on the back of your neck. You have a mortgage? How much? Yeah. 400,000. Got a 400,000 pound weight on your neck. Pound. It works both ways, right? Yeah. How much? 60 lakh rupees. 60 lakh rupees. Uh-huh. Yeah. People work all their life to get a house that they can live happily in. By the time they finish the mortgage, they're almost ready to die. Or they die before. And then what happens?
Then kids, they have to pay off.
The kids, they take it on. Yeah, it's the debt society. Yeah, people come here to earn money, but by the time you pay the rent, you don't save any. The rent takes up more than half your salary in many cases, right? Is it in? Yeah, otherwise you can go and live outside and commute, and then you, and another 2-3 hours a day is lost, and then you're in a state of total exhaustion 24 hours every day. What a hellish society they made.
Also upkeep of the house, you have to maintain it, so there's a cost of loading every year.
And then you have to pay rates on it also, right? Archina Dara Dravanam. What is that? Srila that Bhagavatam says. Ah, Karapiraya. What is that? The people. Gachan. The people, they'll be so oppressed by taxes and lack of food that people will just leave the cities and go to the forests. The life will become so hellish. It's predicted in Bhagavatam. Horrible life, eh? You spend all your life just paying off some debts. And they're so clever that they call this advanced civilization. And people think, yes, we're very civilized, and they're just living a life of struggle and suffering. And children are getting knifed in the schools. He said, it's not safe to go to school.
And if you don't go to the costly school?
If you don't go to the costly school, then
considered as failure.
Yeah, you have to pay so much. That's another massive debt. People come out of university and they start their life with £100,000 debt or something, is it? I don't know. In America, it's... Yeah, everything's expensive. You have to go to the school that you can't afford to keep up your prestige.
It's the association. I guess it's rather than the system, like comprehensive schools which are free. The association is much worse, apparently, you know, generally speaking, and people tend to pay per term like £5,000-6,000 per term, which turns out like £15,000-20,000 per year for private schools.
But then the association in private school is not any better.
Well, they think kids got money, so they tend to smoke more drugs and things like that. They can afford it.
Yeah, but that's giving the wrong message to the children, that you send them the money and send them to, that's what they'll expect when they grow up.
Prestige. For the sake of prestige, you have to lead a miserable life. Again, in this book I'm reading by Stilson Judah, it's recounted one devotee said to his father, who's earning lots of money in America, he said, "But look, you're miserable, aren't you?" He said, "Yeah, I'm miserable, but you don't say anything to me. You leave me alone in my misery." He admitted, but at the same time, he said, you don't say. You leave me alone. You don't tell me I'm miserable.
Also here, it's against the law not to send your kids to school if they're absent from school.
If they're absent from school, yeah.
Pay a fine. So mandatory.
Not just if you don't send your kids to school, then not only will you not pay, not just a fine, they'll take the kids away from you, right? Homeschooling is allowed, yeah.
You've got to have a proper program to show that you are doing something. You have to follow the curriculum.
And they have to pass the exam.
Yeah.
Exams. That's one great thing about Gurukuls. No exams. When I think about school, that's always a great impetus for me not to want to get born again. To have to go through that again. Really horrible. I really didn't like school at all. I just thought I was in prison. They force you to go and sit through all these useless things day after day after day. The children in our gurukuls, they're happy. They may not be the chartered accountants of the future, but they're happy now. At least they have a happy childhood. They're happy, you can see they're happy. They love kirtan. Yeah, they'll do kirtan for hours. Hare Krishna. Anything else? Any other questions? Hey, you're supposed to get your vitamin C tabs, right? Get some this evening. There'll be some pharmacies open in central London, even on the way in. You know all the pharmacies. They're all Patels, aren't they? Is it? Huh? He's always getting a cold and a cold. It's too cold for him here. You should take regularly, because in Dubai also, it's always in and out of the air conditioning. Anything else? Yeah.
There's vegan question. Some of the devotees say Prabhupada allows milk from the slaughterhouse cows.
Oh, not some devotees said it's a well-known attested fact. How could it be denied that Prabhupada allowed milk from commercial milk?
As a justification for having lots of milk products, and some devotees say that we should take milk only from protected cows.
Well, my take on the big vegan question is that by now we should have got our farms together and demonstrated protected cows. I take milk only from protected cows. I'm not against taking it from commercial milk because Prabhupada, on the other hand, I probably wouldn't recommend it because it's full of all kinds of chemicals and it's probably more healthy not to drink that milk. But I take milk only from protected cows, symbolically, you could say. And anyway, in India, everywhere you go, there are goshalas. Pretty much everywhere you go, there are goshalas with protected cows. Everywhere, all at least the parts of India I go, where I travel widely. And most of our temples have goshalas also. So that's not a problem. Here, sometimes in the West, it's a bit of a problem. Here in England. There's a big karmic reaction if you offer it to Krishna. Well, Prabhupada didn't say that. But we should have had our farms together by now to produce the milk. But we don't. We're not going to stop. We're not going to turn Krishna into a vegan. We're not going to stop offering Krishna milk. Yeah, yeah, a lot of devotees into it. But like I say, they're vegans on the basis that we don't exploit the animals, but everything is exploitation. Chocolate, coffee, tea, motor cars, they run on oil, which runs on exploiting the earth. In many places it means totally polluting the local ecosystem so that people in the areas where the oil is extracted from, their whole agriculture is completely destroyed. The water is, this fracking, the water is all made highly poisonous. Because of oil, the benevolent Western powers who are committed to democracy in Iraq. You know, poor Iraq, they didn't have democracy. So the very benevolent Western powers came in to give them democracy. And by the way, they also have oil, so we can also strike a deal with the oil companies. Otherwise, they don't care for democracy in Saudi Arabia. They get the oil without having to attack them. Oil is a curse for the Iraqi people, right? Why are they so concerned about Syria? What's the big thing about Syria? It's the gas pipeline, yeah. The gas pipeline from Qatar is supposed to come through. And that would undermine the Russian gas, which Russia can any time cut off their gas from, and then Europe would be in a mess. So it's all geopolitics. So what I'm saying is if we're using petrol, That's also arguably as much a source of exploitation and evil as is killing cows. So if you really want to be idealistic, go and live in the forest, or make your own farm without cows if you don't believe in looking after cows. But why make such a big fuss about one thing? Well, then you should make a big fuss about all these other things also. There's so much mistreatment of people and animals. It's not just milk. That's only one thing. So, Hare Krishna. Don't have prasadam distribution now? Anything else?
Oh, that's one question. So when you talk about mistreatment and society outside, if they are not devotees, they will behave like demons, all that. But sometimes even devotees also behave like that.
Sometimes devotees misbehave. But, they kill cows? I don't think so.
But they mistreat people and
they mistreat people, yeah. They may do. That's possible. Is it better to be mistreated by karmis or by devotees? By devotees.
By devotees.
Yeah, at least they'll chant Hare Krishna while they're beating you on the head. Oh, I don't know what to do. Everyone's being mistreated and mistreating others. The whole world is going on like that. We're suffering in this world because we mistreated so many people and other living beings in previous lives. If we live in this world, we're going to mistreat others and be mistreated by others. That's inevitable. We can't escape. Yeah, devotees may mistreat us also. Try and keep good association, that's all. What can we do? As I read from Srila Prabhupada's books this morning, in the talk I gave this morning, that Prabhupada says, there are many mundane people in the dress of Vaishnavas, but such persons should be completely neglected. So, if you find people we're supposed to be devotees, but they don't act like devotees, then don't mix with them, that's all. Find good association and chant Hare Krishna.
Some damage happens by the time.
Damage, then what can you do? You can't reverse the... If some damage is caused by devotees or others, you can't reverse time. You have to go on with life in the situation you're in, right? What can be done? Have to adjust and go on. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Go on with faith. By chanting Hare Krishna, everything will come, everything desirable. Our best interest will be fulfilled. So Hare Krishna.